I'm complaining about the media. I think that the news media in the past couple of years has done a really good job of highlighting some of the issues with emergency preparedness. I had a meeting with Ben Berry a couple of months ago where one of the things he pulled out in the course of the meeting was a Mercury article talking about the vulnerability of our telecommunications infrastructure to an earthquake. And he used that to demonstrate his concern about the fact that much of our infrastructure is housed in the Pittock building, which is not seismically sound. Richard Reed at the Oregonian had a piece that the Oregonian ran on the front page of the Sunday section about the vulnerability of our energy infrastructure to an earthquake. So I feel like our friends in the Fourth Estate have been doing a really good job on this in recent months. And that helps us, of course.
Thank you. Other questions, points to raise? Thank you very much. Appreciate your good work recently and in the future.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there others that are signed up to speak on this item?
Yes, we have two more people, Charles Johnson and Joe Walsh.
Come on up.
Carla, is it just our monitors that are stuck, or?
Yeah, we've got a picture up here.
Go ahead, Charles. You're on first.
My name is Joe Walsh, and I represent Individuals for Justice. There are two items that always plague me when we get into the emergency responses. And these are very personal. All the statistics that I read, there's about 10% of the population that are on serious prescription drugs, life-saving drugs. There, to my knowledge, there is no provisions to figure out a way to get those life-giving drugs the people that are stranded, say, in the merger earthquake. The other issue that I have is also personal. I'm on oxygen 24/7, even though I come off it from time to time to speak because of the popping sound and the oxygen. And I got kind of my doctor's permission to do that. But it also occurs to me that if we were in a serious earthquake, what would happen? Because I would lose power to the machine that makes oxygen at my home. I have a backup system that would last probably 72 hours. After that, I would be in serious trouble. There are no provisions that I know of to have a stockpile of the drugs that are life-saving, or there's no study that I know of that anybody's ever looked at what happens to 10% of the population in a major earthquake where they can't get life-giving drugs. It's something that's always left out. You know, we do the communications really well. We do the emergency generators really well. We do the interaction with the agencies really well. But these two items, and you could ask your staff, I think are left out.
Actually, Mr. Walsh, I think that those are issues that, and to be honest, I don't know what the plans are, but I think that the county, which sort of has the primary responsibility for worrying about the vulnerable populations, I know at least the issue of prescription drugs is one they've talked about. I don't know what the solution is on oxygen. I don't know. But I don't think that it's being ignored. I'd be happy to ask the county for what their plans are and get back to you on that.
Okay, I would appreciate
it tomorrow.
Because those are my two concerns. They're very personal concerns, but it also involves a lot. 10% of your population is 60,000 people. That's a lot of people.
Good point. Thank you. Okay, good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and I will say that it's a little bit unsettling that this is, I know this item, and it's happening a little bit slowly. But I'm concerned about the ability to commit and get positive results. I don't think we're being honest about what really happened here. We think we live in a technological society with competent people, but the Portland General Electric Company was unable to turn on power in a shopping mall during the Christmas season for 72 hours on Sunday, on Monday. There was, and yesterday, there was no power, and It's really rather pathetic that a licensed utility that you're going to fix at a 5% fee is not here with their chairman of the board and their president explaining how they can collect and profit from the public and not be able to power your buildings for 72 hours. You should be demanding a higher level of accountability from Portland General Electric. And we should be looking at adjusting the utility fee code to so that there are penalties when they have failures in continuity of services. If we're going to let private companies do this, you can be sure that Microsoft and Apple had special things in their leases so that when Portland General screws up, they're either covered by insurance or they have legal recourse. And I think the city should be taking that more seriously. And I think that we should all expect to see a letter in public record from Portland General Electric explaining how they can forget how to get electricity to city buildings for 72 hours or however long the exact outage was. I think that's the primary thing. I don't know that our licensing and fees relate so much to cellular carriers, but I'm glad that Mr. Novick raised the issue. Of course, the primary thing for cell tower providers is to minimize costs. Usually there's landline connections and they need electrical power. But I hope you'll partner with the very stressed and busy and tired emergency management people to also look at the ways that the city can get accountability from its private partner powers. If that means that somebody needs to research and find out, wow, if we spent 10% more on each cell tower, could they have longer power supplies and do direct radio communication instead of relying on landline connections that will break during a seismic event, which some people say, instead of saying a killer earthquake. So those are some things to consider. I think the only other issues that we should raise is, I didn't see very much social media response, but I did get somebody who was coordinating the legislative council. There was going to be a legislative affairs thing going on in the auditorium yesterday. And while I didn't hear about fancy new social media, one of our fine city employees did do an excellent job of getting an email out so I could go to another event. Sometimes, this is very minor, but we have been meeting in this room and talking every week since we changed from daylight time to standard time. And I keep forgetting to remind you that the clock on the wall over there is still on daylight time.
Actually, it's on
the big one is great.
The
right tiny now. One over there, I keep forgetting to mention.
Yeah.
An eye for detail is important in these things. And it's my bad for not finding a facilities person to move it back an hour. And I do want to thank the emergency management people for the 19-page PDF that takes about 6 megabytes. I didn't thoroughly review it before speaking, but the city staff is always engaged as well. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you. Thanks very much. We will certainly be seeking and expecting a full explanation, but literally the crews from both PGE and our own facilities folks were working until right now, getting these buildings powered back up. So after everyone goes home and gets a good night's sleep, we will be expecting an explanation and some strategies to try to mitigate against that danger more than we have, obviously.
Thanks. And
thank you. Anyone else signed up to testify?
That's all who signed up.
Comments from council? If not, then roll call on the resolution, please.
Novick?
Carmen, thank you very much for all of your work on this plan and over the past few days. And I have to say, if I had gotten as little sleep as you have over the past few days, I wouldn't have been nearly as coherent. So thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Rizzi, for joining us and for your partnership. Thanks to Carmen's staff. And I very much appreciate the council's engagement on this issue. And Commissioner Saltzman is right. I mean, I think that the biggest ticket financial item on our list, or the expensive item on the list, is the West Side Emergency Operations Center. And I very much appreciate the indication from some of my colleagues that that should be a priority. So thank you very much, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Novick, for your passion for this topic and for improving and coordinating our emergency responses. It's been an interesting 72 hours. And thank you, Director Merlot, for your coordination of the response and also for this report. I like the timelines in it and the specificity, the bolding of the priority items. Particularly appreciate the identification of equity issues and the commitment to work on them with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and indeed the entire community. I like the concept of micro-communities and recognizing that it's really the block structure that is where people are going to be helping each other out for 3 weeks, never mind 3 days, if the big one, if and when the big one hits. Particularly appreciate the Office of Neighborhood Involvement's information referral staff who moved to the Kelly Building, had a seamless continuation of operations, answered many, many phone calls, and generally performed in the manner that I expected them to, so that was good. It does highlight the need for each of our bureaus to have our continuation of operations plan, and perhaps for the council to have a continuation of coordination plan when we're not physically in the building. There's the challenge, you can't have a quorum, but was lost not knowing where some of my colleagues were or what meetings were on, what were not. And so there's a number of things. Computers are really important, it turns out, in our current society. And I apologize to the 142 people who emailed me over the last 3 days that I was not able to access my public email. So I appreciate the Bureau of Technology Services who have recognized that we need to move to a locally based cloud technology and put all of the information and data and the entire functions of our desktop computers in the cloud or wherever it is that they are. I don't really understand it, but I know that I wasn't able to get to a lot of the things that my files, my records over the last 3 days, and it really made things difficult to make things function. So certainly we need to go back to some pretty basic things like having up-to-date telephone lists. But we also, as I say, need to, as the mayor said, it was an emergency that wasn't life-threatening, but it certainly disrupted city operations, and I think we have a lot of discussing to do over the next few weeks. So thank you, after you've gotten some sleep. I also particularly appreciate the coordination with the county. Obviously, there are health issues that the county is more primarily responsible, other issues that we take the lead on. The fact that you are here together today and partnered on this strategic plan is very important. Thank you for all your work. Aye.
Fish?
Carmen and Steve, thanks for a great job. I'd love to see what it would cost to have some backup generator capacity in this building. In lieu of that, I want to thank the developers and manufacturers of my smartphone, because it turns out I could sit in a restaurant, a coffee bar, or anywhere else, even the couch in my office, and do a lot of our continuity of operations work thanks to the technology in that phone. I'm very interested, Carmen, in following up on 1.8 on the housing thing, because I think that's one where if we upstream figure out what our expectations are, we can embed that in all of our contracts going forward to sort of download or set the expectations for our partners. We welcome the conversation with our friends at the county to look at the, our utilities and our systems that cross that span the Willamette. As long as we're projected to spend quite a lot of money to make those pipes more resilient, we'd certainly like to know what the options are above ground as well as below ground. So that's a good conversation to have. But thank you for your great work as always. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you, Commissioner Novick. Thank you, Carmen Merlo, Mr. Rizzi from the county. Appreciate your work and appreciate all the hard work you've done over the last few days. I just don't want to sound like a Johnny One Note, but I'm just going to underscore again that, we can't on the one hand be talking about the great subduction zone earthquake that's going to hit us any day now. If you talk to any of us, that's our line. Any day this is going to hit. We've got to be prepared. And then at the same time to say that the most important West Side Emergency Operations Center is in a Type 3 land use process. If something goes down, people are going to be wondering, what the hell are we talking about? So we need to find both the funding and the resolve to get this thing done, and before December 2016. It's, as I said earlier, it's totally unacceptable to have that as the deadline for getting this done. And I will be a Johnny One Note on this when it comes time talking real dollars as well. But again, thank you for this plan. I appreciate it. Aye.
Hales.
Well, good work. No one could have, or maybe no one will claim to have planned this confluence of an actual event and this strategic planning effort, but it certainly highlighted everyone's understanding of how important this work is. Appreciate very much this strong interest across the council, regardless of bureau assignments, that obviously you're hearing from all five of us a passionate interest in this subject, and a strong appreciation from us for the good work that you've done on this plan, as well as the good work that a whole host of people, unsung heroes, as you described, whether it was TriMet operators who carefully watched each intersection where they went from having signal controls to having stop signs, to police officers who were out there in the cold with flares, making sure that people were driving safely. Again, to my knowledge, we've had no injuries associated with this event. A lot of inconvenience, whether it was a hotel guest or someone who planned to complete their shopping list or people who wanted to show up to work in these two buildings. But to get through a practice event, if you will, of that magnitude with no serious harm was a testament to good work. It wasn't just good luck. It was a lot of good work that was done. And again, although we are looking forward to a thorough explanation of what went wrong from the power company, I also want to recognize the fact that their workers were out there in manholes in the cold for the last 72 hours, working very hard to put the system back together again. So although there is a question of why this happened and the accountability of that does need to be looked into, I do want to recognize the fact that folks were out there in very difficult conditions putting the systems back in operation for all of us. So thank you very much. Aye. Okay.